Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. I am so glad that you all are here, whether you're listening in live in the studio audience or if you're listening in through the internet. Welcome. I am glad you could be here. It's tonight's show is, wow. You know, most of you know that I'm native California. I was born and raised in Southern California. And I've lived in different states over the years, in Michigan, Oklahoma, Texas, and then back home. And then I went back to Texas 5 years ago. And so tonight I'm actually doing my show live from California. I am in Walnut, California, doing my show live tonight. And so it just kind of feels good to be back to where this all began 8 years ago. So this is going to be an exciting show for me tonight. But I am here live in California and glad to be home, getting a chance to love on my. I got two sets of parents, so getting a chance to spend time with both sets of parents and love on them and love on the grandchildren and my oldest son and a host of siblings and other family members that I hope to see before I leave here. But anyway, again, welcome into the studio. Thank you for joining us here on Processing the Pain. And we're going to get right to the message on tonight. And hopefully I won't keep you all long, but I think this is a fitting message journey. And it just really, you know, we all know, but it just really truly dawned on me a couple of days ago that this thing we call life, especially, and I'm talking to believers, And if you're on the line listening in and you're not a believer, you are welcome to stay. But know that when I'm speaking, when I speak the word, I'm speaking to believers. And maybe something I might say may capture your attention if you're not a believer, and it may cause you to start asking questions. Just maybe a seed is sown that will provoke you to ask questions about this walk, this faith walk. You know, ask questions about this Savior named Jesus the Christ. Ask questions about our Heavenly Father, our Abba Father. You know, maybe you just might want to ask questions, because by far, being a believer, being Christ-like, a Christian means Christ-like, being a follower of Yeshua, by no means is this an easy walk. By no means are we exempt from the cares of life. We were born into sin. We were born into this flesh. And unfortunately, we will experience. That's why God came down in the flesh, so that he could show us that I'm not talking about what I don't know. You know, we hear that, you know, how many people could tell you about something or teach you something that ain't been through nothing? I don't know about y'all, but when a man of God, a woman of God is ministering and they teaching the word of God, more ministered to when somebody done been through something. And you done been through something, you done came up out of it, now you can tell me something about how I'm going to come up out of it. So God came down in the flesh so that he could experience the same thing that we're experiencing in the flesh. He experienced emotions and all of that, but he was an example to show us that it could be done. It's not impossible. But he also was compassionate to the things that we would have to experience, to the hurts and the pains of life. And he went through pain, you know. And so he came and showed us, you know, in the flesh, yes. I'm not, when I tell you you could do all things, I'm telling you this because I know you could do it. I've been there. I was doing it. You know, I ain't just telling you about something I don't know. So he came to show us, to be a living example that we can do this thing. And is it easy? Absolutely not. Do you think it was easy for him to walk knowing? You know, he could have disappeared. He could have had everybody killed. But he understood the assignment, and he stuck to it. And that couldn't have been easy. If you read in, you know, when it speaks about him being in the garden and he had a couple of disciples and he had them waiting and he wanted them to wait and pray. They woke, you know, and you could hear his frustration. Like, can you not sit tarry for an hour? You know, he was frustrated. Like, man, I'm fixing to get killed. And I've made an agreement that I have to do this. I'm doing this for y'all, because if I don't do this, You guys are doomed to hell. I have to do this. And can you imagine the fear, you know, just the thought of it all? I mean, he asked God, Lord, I mean, you know, Father, if you could take this cup from me, hey, we could recreate our agreement. Let's recreate our agreement. I mean, on second thought, you know, can we just do this a different way? But then he remembered the assignment and he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so guess what? We're going through this thing called life, and it's a faith walk. And it is really faith. Now, let me just read it, because you know it. You know, everybody know Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. So this whole walk is about the invisible. It's not about what we see, but it's about what we don't see. And so because we don't see it doesn't make it not real. Because we don't see it doesn't make it not real, because we know through the word of God that there's some things going on in another dimension. There's some things going on in the spiritual realm. We know the God we serve, and if you begin to read his word and you come into this communion with him and you begin to spend time with him and spend time in his word and just spend time being still in his presence, then you know in his word that
he did all this in 6 days. And on that sixth day, it was done. It was completed. It was nothing else to be added to. It was completed. So when we understand that it's completed, then we understand, wow, even when we get frustrated, even when we get aggravated, even when we get scared, because fear is anger, frustration, fear, because we don't know. I can't see it. Am I going to be okay? Am I going to be healed? Am I going to be whole? Am I going to be able to make it through another day? Will I have the basic necessities? You know, we worry about those kind of things. Those are the things that concern us. And he tells us in his word, he's concerned about the things that concern us, but he also goes on to further tell us that he will supply our need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So he's telling us there's promises. He's telling us, I'm with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Yes, the road could get rocky. Yes, things could get rough. But even in that, tonight I believe that what he wants us to know, that even in the midst of that, that we, false evidence appearing real, that's fear. But I think tonight what he wants us to know in the midst of all of that is that don't be scared just because about what you can't see. Don't be scared about what, because it's what you can't see that he's got a plan. And you know it because everything you went through, you've been through some things, and once you go through it, you'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't think I was going to get through that. I've just been through some stuff. And sometimes we always want to blame the enemy when God is doing something. God is getting your attention, and tonight I believe he wants you to know, hold on to your hope. That's all you have, hope. That's what you have. And the enemy's job is to kill your hope. Because once you stop hoping, you stop dreaming. And once you stop dreaming, then what else is there? I have no hope. When we see these men and women, when we see these mass shootings, there was just another mass shooting in Trabuca Canyon. If you're not from the West Coast, California, there, you know, it's in California. But there was a man, and evidently his wife left him. And he walked into a neighborhood bar where his friend's wife was, and he walked in there and shot up people in the bar. I think he killed about six people. Why? Because he was hopeless. He was hopeless. And once a person loses hope, there's nothing else. There's nothing else. And God is telling us on tonight, he needs us to remain hopeful. He needs us to hold on to our hope, because our hope is not based on what we see. See, if somebody came and handed me $1,000, I don't have to have faith no longer, because why? I have it. I have it. But in me to believe that for something that I need, that's where the faith comes in. That's where hope. I'm hoping for this. I'm hoping for this new job. I'm hoping for a financial breakthrough. I'm hoping to be healed. I'm hoping. And as long as you keep hoping, keep hope alive. Because as long as you keep hoping, you're going to be driven to continue to walk this walk. Because I tell you, based on what we see sometimes, many of you, I don't know about y'all, but it's been times where I wanted to throw in the white towel. I was done with this thing called, I didn't want to do this thing called life no more. You know, I'm sure many of us have been like, okay, Father, can we recreate our agreement? Can we do something different? Maybe this ain't the life I wanted. Maybe I need to do something different. But God has said, no, I got a plan. And don't be driven by what you see. Be driven by what you know. And what you know don't have to be what you see. What you know is that you have a Father that's in heaven, that's working all things together for your good, that you have a Father that's in heaven. And he says in his word, Philippians chapter 2 and 13, he said in his word, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not you, it's God working in you. So he tells you that. Romans, we know, everybody knows Romans 8:28, and we know that all things are working together for good to them that what? That love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Don't you know if you're serving God today, if you said yes, don't you know you said yes because he called you, not because you called yourself, that you didn't choose him, he chose you, but you had to say yes. So he's working everything together for our good, you know. And then Psalms 91 and 3 tells us that God is going to, he will deliver us from the snares of the fowlers, from the deadly pestilence. What does that really mean? That sounds good. It sounds good as a whole mouthful, right? But what does that really mean to us? What is the snares? What is the pestilence? You know, when I think about pestilence, we think about bugs and different things. But basically all that means is that that he's given us victory over the attacks, the tricks of the enemy. And the enemy is going to have tricks. He's going to attack. We're going to be persecuted. He's never promised us that we wouldn't be. He's never promised us that weapons won't form against us. He said weapons will form, but what? They won't prosper. So, yeah, so what if formed against you? I'm not going to stop this enemy. You know, he's going to do what he's designed to do. He's going to cause havoc. But what he's saying is you already got the victory. So what if he, you know, try to scare you with this? So what if he try to scare you with that? He's saying, God is saying, know that I have a plan. So we're going to get into the word. Normally I don't get this far into what we're going to talk about, but we're going to get into the word. Let's get to the word so we can see for ourselves in the word. This is, and the story that dropped in my spirit to share tonight is a very familiar spirit story. Hopefully you all can hear me. Many of us know this story, and when I speak it, you're going to know it. Many of us have read the story of Daniel. We know the plight of Daniel. And, man, why it dropped in my spirit, because I felt many of us is having a Daniel experience, and we don't understand how we got where we at, why we are where we're at. And I come by tonight to let you know why you are where you at and how you got where you at. Amen. Now, I'm not going to say that sometimes we haven't been responsible and we made decisions and choices that affects us in various areas, whatever those decisions, financial decisions, marital decisions, health decisions. Some of us are suffering through health things and we contribute to it. You know, we contribute because we want to still continue to eat what we want to eat and drink what we want to drink. And we know that it's not healthy for our bodies. And then we have to suffer the consequences, you know. Some of us financially, we know we're not good budgeters. You know, we know we don't need to be out 3, 4, 5 times a week spending $30, $40, $50, $100 on eating out. We know that that's not part of our budget, and yet we do it anyway. You know, some of us, we're in marriages that we're now trying to honor, and we're hoping, God, Lord, please step in and do something. Lord, please save me, deliver me, because we didn't make a decision that maybe, just maybe, wasn't the best decision that God had for us. You know, don't beat yourself up. Just recognize, own your stuff. Had Adam and Eve, Adam particularly, had he owned his stuff in the garden, guess what? I think things would have turned out a lot different. Had he just owned it, yes, I was disobedient. I blew it. Father, forgive me. I repent. It probably would have been different. And what God needs you to know tonight is that where you're at right now, you need to be still. Look where you're at. Now, all he wants you to do, he knows that you can't fix it because you need a God to fix it, and he is that God.
But what he wants you to do is acknowledge the part that you played in where you're at right now that's causing you great pain and suffering. He wants you to acknowledge it. That's going to be the first step. Yes, Lord, I know that I did this, I did this, I did that, and Lord, I need you to help me do better. So acknowledge it. If it's something you know you need to repent from, repent. Repent. Because when you do that, then he's going to begin to reveal things to you. He's going to begin to reveal things if you need to repent. Now, everybody where they at, they ain't where they at because they need to repent. But God may be working something out for you. So let's read the story of Daniel, and then we'll get further into it. So I'm going to read, Daniel's a big book, but what I'm going to read, and I think what's going to work really good for us is Daniel, the sixth chapter, and I'm going to read from 19 to 24. Daniel, sixth chapter, 19 through 24. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you. O king, I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Father, we thank you for what you will reveal to us on tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is power and is life and is transformational, Father. So, Lord, have your way on tonight. I decrease that you may increase. No longer I that live, but Christ that lives inside me. Father, I surrender myself to you to be used for a powerful rhema word from you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we just read from Daniel. So now let me just tell you, for those who may not be familiar with Daniel, you have to understand that Daniel, during this time, there was officials. Let's, you know, think about, like, we have political officials. We have mayors and we have congressmen and, you know, so similar. Daniel was in a high ranking, but he was in a high ranking with others who were high ranked. Well, Daniel, you know, loved the Lord, and Daniel would go and he would pray three times a day, you know, he would pray, and he was governed by personal relationship with God, and he was true to his belief system, and these others weren't. And they were jealous of Daniel because Daniel had not only favor with God, but Daniel had favor with man. Man is something about favor. Favor will take you places that a degree and a doctrine won't take you. When you got the favor of God, God will open up doors. He will cause people to like you, and they don't even know why they like you. He will cause opportunities to exist that never existed for nobody else. The favor of God is amazing. And Daniel had the favor of God. But the thing about the favor of God is favor ain't fair. And when favor, because it's not fair, you're going to always get haters. You're going to get people that don't understand how you keep getting opportunities that they couldn't get. They ain't going to understand how you always look like you happy. Oh, they going through a storm, but look at him. Look at her. She always looked like she happy. You're going to always find people that's going to find something to hate on. They're going to find a way to be malicious. And in this situation, there were the other political figures that didn't like Daniel. And so they tried to trip him up. And so they talked the king into, and the king being gullible and naive, they talked the king into signing an order that nobody could worship nobody but the king. They couldn't worship no other gods. They couldn't pray to no other gods. They couldn't do any of that. So they, so they only could worship the king. Well, the king, Daniel had favor with the king, but then the king let these guys trick him in. The king didn't know that they were maliciously trying to attack Daniel. He just thought, okay, they're doing something to help the kingdom. Now they're giving me this bill. I'm going to sign off on it. Once I sign off on it, it's the law. So the king signed off on it. The guys caught Daniel praying one day. They went back to the king, told the king. The king was disturbed because he didn't want to have to make the decision. He wanted to change the law. Why? Because Daniel had favor with him. But because of what the rule was, he couldn't change it. So he had to follow through with it, and he had to have them deliver Daniel to the lion's den. Coach D, help us understand, what's the big deal with the lion's den? Okay, Daniel got delivered to the lion's den. Well, the big deal that I want you to know tonight, a whole lot of us is in lion's den. What's your lion's den? Your lion's deal is that den might be that you don't know how you're going to pay your next bill. Your lion's den might be that your wife left you or your husband's cheating on you. Your lion's den may be that you lost the income and maybe you ain't been working for months, weeks, or years. Your lion's den could be that your body is broken down with inflammation and infirmity, and you sometimes don't know if you're going to live to see another day. That could be your lion's den. Ooh, but glory to God. We serve a God that could deliver us out of the lion's den. And you know, God told me years ago, because I keep getting in lion's den, but he told me years ago, anybody could have took Daniel out of the lion's den. But only God could deliver Daniel in the lion's den. So anybody could have delivered them out of it. Anybody could have came and opened the door. Anybody could come and give you, you know, anybody could come and give you a job, you know, just the next job. Anybody could, you know, anybody could do. God could deliver us in the lion's den. And when he told me that, and he has reiterated to me at times when I'm in the lion's den, I'm in the lion's den, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, this lion's supposed to eat me alive, and I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. And I'm looking for people to help deliver me. You know, that's what we tell our family. You know, we tell our close friends, oh, my gosh, I'm going through this. And we crying on their shoulders. And it's okay to have somebody's shoulders to cry on, but we looking for them to deliver us out. Ooh, all you got to do is give me one word. Maybe give me some money. Maybe, you know, maybe you could refer me to a job. Maybe you could do this. Maybe you could give me the answer to my, you know, we're looking for that for my family and our friends. And then, but we're not getting it. And then we're wondering why we're not getting it. And God said, you ain't getting it because I didn't give it to you. He said, I need you to be, well, when you get delivered, that people know that it's God that delivered you, because couldn't nobody else deliver you. And God is delivering some of you in your lion's den. Just hold on there and keep hope alive. Keep your faith, because he's getting ready to change some situations and some circumstances. Sometimes God has to let you hit rock bottom, because sometimes you have to be on the floor. Why? Because the only place you can look is up. The only place you can look is up. And so sometimes he has to step back and allow some stuff to happen to get your attention. Now this is the transparent moment, because I got to share something with you guys, and I got to brag on my God. If I was not in the lion's den, and my lion's den experience started
back in October, and I've been giving bits and pieces of it, but couldn't give a lot of it. Because, see, when you're still in the lion's den, you can't brag. When you're still in the lion's den, it's hard to tell people, well, you know, God is going. It's not, because all they can see is the lion's den. And so sometimes when you're in the lion's den, you just got to shut up and wait until God deliver you out the deliver you in the lion's den in order for you to be able to start speaking on it, right? So sometimes you just need to be quiet and go through some stuff. And so God allowed me to go through some stuff. But I got to take you back, because back in 2018, when God has already been telling me that it was time for me to go. It's time for me to go. But I didn't want to go. And it wasn't that I wanted to be disobedient to God, but I didn't want to go. My family's here. You know, my parents are here. I got siblings here. I got, you know, grandkids. Everybody's here. So I was just like, part of me, I was conflicted. Part of me wanted to go, but part of me didn't want to go. I got parents, they're getting older. They're dealing with, you know, some of them are dealing with different health issues. And I just was like, ooh, I'm abandoning them. And, you know, I can't jump ship and I can't leave. And, you know, I can't stop working. And, you know, I got to do this. I'm the oldest sibling. And I got to I got to carry this torch. And I'm just miserable. And I'm miserable because I know that God had called me to something else. But the flesh, my human obligations was like, but you can't do this, but you, how you going to do that? And God dealt with me for a few years, and finally in 2018, it became where he was speaking louder to me. And he reminded me of the scripture. Some of y'all might know this testimony, but he reminded me of the scripture of when he was calling on Peter and his brother to come and follow him. And they said, okay, we're going to follow you, but we got to go back and make sure daddy's good, and we got to make sure this is taken care of him. And basically what he said, and I'm paraphrasing, somebody might know that scripture. If you know that scripture, then please put it up. You could put it up, text me, whatever. But anyway, what he was saying is that, in other words, if you can't put this, him, and it wasn't him in an arrogant manner, but he's God. They just didn't understand it. But he's saying, if you can't put God first, if you can't be obedient to me, if you got to go do that, then guess what? You're not worthy to follow me. So in other words, God's got to be your first, and he's got to be your last. He's got to be the all in all, and everything else got to take a second. Everything else got to take a second. So anyway, when he gave me Habakkuk 2:2. He wrote the vision. He made it plain. He told me what I was going to do. He told me how I was going to do it, everything. And I know it was God. How do I know it was God? Because it wasn't necessarily easy, but it worked like clockwork. And when he told me, he said, you're going to resign. You're going to retire from your job that I had been working at 16, 17 years. You're going to retire from there, sell your home. You're going to move to Texas. You're going to start a nonprofit. You're going to finish and publish your book. And your nonprofit, you don't have to live rich, but your nonprofit will bring in enough to make sure that your basic monthly obligations are taken care of. And guess what? I was like Peter. I knew it was God, and I walked out on the water. And I was walking the water for a good while. I was walking the water for 18 months. Peter walked the water for 18 seconds. I was walking the water for 18 months. And then guess what? The visible started happening. I started seeing the visible. The visible was, this nonprofit ain't doing what it ain't working the way it's supposed to work. This nonprofit is not producing finances. The visible, now I'm dabbing into my personal savings, and now I'm living off of that, and things are not working according to plan, and you know, I've spent money because I invested in a nonprofit, and I invested in getting the book published, and all these things, but nothing was looking like what I hoped for. And we remember, well, a lot of us want to see a picture with hope. But remember, hope is the faith is the now faith is the substance of things, excuse me, hope for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. So I was starting to define my hope by what I was seeing, which started to cause me to be hopeless. And in the process of being hopeless, see, hopeless is always going to come with fear. Because now, this ain't looking right. Oh, my gosh, I'm losing hope. So I started losing hope, and I started fearing. So what I do, I ran out and did what I know to do. I did what was familiar to me. What was familiar to me, because since I was 16 years old, I've been working. So that's one thing that Coach D knew how to do. I knew how to go get a job. I knew how to work. So what I do, I go get a job, and I started working. I contributed it. Oh, God bless me. He seen things was getting tight, and he blessed me with a job. I got comfortable, started working a job that, quote, God blessed me with, unquote. See, a lot of time we want to say, oh, God bless me, and they didn't have and they didn't have nothing to do with God. Some of us got married talking about God told us. Some of us went and worked jobs because we believe God gave us the job. And sometimes it ain't got nothing to do with God. So, but God, it wasn't his, he permitted it. It wasn't his perfect will, but he permitted it. So I went and worked a job. Then I lost focus on the dream, vision, and idea that he gave me. So I worked a job for a year and a half, and finally the job got overwhelming a bit much, and then I resigned from that, you know, thinking, okay, I resigned from this. I'll just go get another job, and guess what? Another job didn't come as easy. You know, you're getting older. Let me tell you something, not to not give you hope, but guess what? The visible is going to tell you who wants somebody 50 or 60 years old when they could get somebody 30 years old that got another 30 years that they could invest in a company. That's what the visible will tell you, right? So, you know, I did that job a year and a half and got laid off. I mean, not laid off, but left the job and thought, okay, no, I don't have to deal with this. I don't have to deal with this. I'll just go get another job. Other jobs didn't come as easy. So here I am off of work for probably 6, 7, 8 months before I get another job. Then I get another job, and I'm like, ooh, God bless me again. And this time he gave me a better job, because this time I go in the door making more than what I was making at the other job, and I'm going in the door as a manager. So I'm just like, this is great, right? So now I'm in this other job, and I'm liking the job, but it was a job, it was favor. I got through the door. But it was a job that was not my expertise. So I was trying to learn something that was totally new to me. So I'm trying to learn it and trying to do it and trying to get it. And, you know, in order to learn something, you have to have the materials and the teachings and stuff to learn it, right? So anyway, I'm here at this job. And then guess what? Another twist and turn comes. Another twist and turn comes. Some things happen. And then I get laid off from this job. So now I'm laid off from this job. Oh, no biggie. That job was stressful. I'll just have to try to find another job. So now I'm trying to find another job, and guess what? They're not coming that easy again. Now, what are you telling us all this for, Coach D? Why are you telling us? What does this mean? So what? Yeah, it sounds like you just can't keep a job. What's wrong with you, right? Wrong. It'll be almost a year in October. Well, a year and just I've worked. Next February will be a year that I was laid off. But let me tell you something. I'm telling my business, because guess what? It ain't even my business. This is going to help somebody on tonight. After all this stressing, all this sickness in my body, because stress will cause sickness, all this worrying and wondering and don't understand, and what did I do wrong, God, and why is this not happening, and being depressed. Yes, I'm saying depressed, because Christians are good for always, you know, they want to talk about, you know, oh, you this, you know, you doing this because you must not be serving God, or you ain't praying and this and that. No, the enemy is trying to kill you. Because why? Because you don't belong to him. And that's his job, kill, steal, and destroy. So while he's doing his job, he was doing his job, and many of us try to, you know, push and have the faith and try to fight through it. And sometimes we get overcome. But we, you know, so what? We might have lost the battle, but we didn't lose the war. And And so we are fighting and we're pushing because everybody is telling us, you know, everybody's quoting scriptures and everybody's telling us this and they want us to do this and we're trying to do it. And people got expectations of you and you speaking the word, but are you living the word? Can you preach what you practice? Are you practicing what you're preaching? It's all this stuff and you're doing this. And these are people that's leader that has said yes. And these are why you see the leadership, they're being attacked. And then they're trying to still maintain. They're trying to be integral. They're still trying to show up and stand up. But they're being attacked and this thing called life is going. This thing called life was going for me. And I was getting on Thursdays and I was still bringing forth the word of God. And I was still telling my stories. And I was still trying to share parts of my journey that I felt like I could share in moments where I did overcome. But tonight I'm sharing it because I've overcame. Glory to God. And it don't mean that this will be the last journey. It don't mean that this will be the last time. But what this means is this. Don't lose your hope. Keep the faith. Just know, if you know that you know that you're a child of God, just know he's working some things out. And it ain't going to always feel good. And it ain't going to always look good. But let me tell you, just in this story so you can understand, I shared all this stuff with you to share this. You remember in the beginning 5 years ago, I told you he told me to go. He said, go. He called me out on the water, and I took the walk of faith, right? Then life started happening, and I began to sink, and I had been sinking. And sometimes I could come up for breath, get that glimpse of oxygen, and then I would sink again. Then I would doggy paddle back up to the top, and I'm okay. I got my head above water, but I'm still sinking. Never a solid ground. And the reason why it was never a solid ground, because I was doing not what he told me to do. I allowed myself to get scared and sink, because scared and sinking means you losing faith. And God didn't tell me to come here to go to Texas to be an employee. He told me to go to Texas to be an employer. But I was willing to grab the low-hanging fruit. Why? Because it was familiar and it was easy. So I was grabbing the low-hanging because it was easy and it was comfortable, and I forgot who I was, and I forgot the knowledge. I forgot the skill set. I forgot who I was. And I was, even in my previous job, I was executive leadership. I was management. But I was willing to go. I was convinced I didn't want to be no manager anymore. I don't want to have to solve problems. I don't want the headache. I just want to come and do my 8 to 5. But how a king going to become a peasant? Once you're a king, you're a king. Until you die. You're a king until you die. So you don't just stop being a king. And I was trying, I was a leader. And I'm not saying this in arrogance, I'm saying this with all humility. I was a leader, but I didn't want to be a leader no more. It wasn't that I was scared of success. It wasn't a fear of success, because a lot of people feel like, well, you're scared to succeed. It wasn't that I was scared to succeed. I didn't want the responsibilities that came with succeeding. I had convinced myself, I don't want those responsibilities. I don't want the headaches. I don't want to be on phone calls in the middle of my vacation. I didn't want to be on phone calls on my days off. And guess what? When you're a leader, when you're in an executive role, there is no off days. There is no vacation. Yes, take your vacation, but while you're on your vacation, guess what? You're going to be on your computer and your phone too. I didn't want that responsibility. So I took the easier role. And many of us is taking the easier path. We're taking the path that's most travel. It's already paved. It's easy to walk. It don't take a whole lot of thinking. It doesn't take a lot. You don't have to be real assertive. You don't have to be really bright to take this path. And many of you are taking that path. And God said, that's not what I called you to. I called you to take the high road. I called you to take the road less traveled. Because see, he already telling us that the road to him is narrow. It ain't a lot. So he's calling us. He's calling us as kingdom citizens to take the path less traveled. He's calling us to be leaders. Because guess what? This war thing ain't over. And everything that you learned here on earth during this journey, you're going to need it. It's living skills. Because there's quickly, where there's going to be some things going on in this earth, and everything that you learned while you were here, you're going to have to utilize those skill sets. And guess what? Fear ain't one of them. Fear will not be one of them. Quitting will not be one of them. Giving up will not be one of them. Being hopeless will not be one of them. He needs soldiers. We are in war, and he needs soldiers. And you're getting practical training in this thing called life. And we got to start realizing that, everything ain't the devil. Sometimes God is not allowing certain things to happen because he needs you to get the lesson. He needs you to learn what it is he needs for you to learn so he can take you to the next level. Many of you is believing God for the lottery. You're believing God that, you know, this for this money and that money. And guess what? God is not going to bless you with $1,000 if he can't trust you with a dollar. If you ain't budgeting the dollar, then he ain't going to trust you with $1,000. And if you ain't budgeting $1,000, then he ain't gonna trust you with $100,000. And if you ain't budgeting with $100,000, he ain't gonna trust you with the millions. And some of you is wondering why you not winning, why you ain't can't, Lord, why I can't just come across no money? Because he knows if you come across the money, you ain't gonna do with it what he needs you to do with it, because you're gonna be doing you. Woo! It's tight, but it's right. And he needs to know. See, we're always talking about, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. God ain't worried about us trusting him. His concern is, can I trust you? Tell you to do. Can I trust you not to be dictated to by the visible? And I'm saying this, ooh, Father God, and I know. See, when you get bold enough to speak what God tell you to speak, even when it don't feel good, know this. Don't think that you're going to walk away from it and it ain't going to be no aftermath. But these words I'm speaking, whether they transform your life or change your life or change somebody else's life, guess what? These very words I'm speaking, guess what? I'm going to have to replay these words in my brain because it's going to be a life. There's going to be a visible situation that's going to cause me to wonder, that's going to cause me to doubt, that's going to cause me to think, maybe cause me to panic. And these words that the Holy Spirit is speaking tonight, I'm going to have to replay them because they're going to have to encourage me, and it's going to have to remind me that we serve an awesome God that's not going to leave us nor forsake us. We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God that not only that, in his word, as we were saying earlier, that it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of what? His good pleasure. Not our good pleasure, but his good pleasure. We have to remember, according to Psalms 91:3, for he will deliver us from the snares of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He's going to deliver us from the tricks of the enemy that causes us to get caught up, that causes us to be tripped up, that causes us to doubt, and to complain, and to wonder, and to be scared, and to be sick. All of that plays in. Stress will have your body doing stuff that you don't even understand what's going on. And the doctors could tell you what they could tell. Oh, yeah, you dehydrated. Oh, yeah, you this. Oh, yeah, you're that. Oh, yeah, you're fat. Oh, yeah, you're obese. Oh, yeah, you're this. You're too skinny. Oh, your sugar's up. They'll tell you all this stuff. All of it is out of sync with the will of God. And I'm not saying you sick because you out of, you know, because you don't believe God or you out of will. But I'm saying that sickness and disease ain't, that's not God. That's something that comes up against us. That's really like a curse. And so we gotta be believing and trusting God for our full healing. And sometimes that healing doesn't come because of either we haven't changed what we're intaking in our bodies. Some people's illnesses is stress-induced. They haven't figured out that it ain't them no way, that it's God. They haven't totally let go, let God do what he needs to do. So they worry and fear. We worry and fear. I'm not exempt. And when you start worrying and fearing, then that stress, those stress levels and the hormones that's released during stress begin to take a toll on your body, breaks your body down, your immune system becomes weak. Now you're more susceptible to other disorders and diseases. So we going through things. So, again, we just have to know that we all going to have a lion situation. We're all going to experience the lion's den. And just because you experienced it once don't mean you won't experience it again. And if you've experienced it twice don't mean you won't experience it for a third time. You're going to always have a lion's den experience. But just remember, and remember Daniel, you think that God wrote these books in the Bible and that he had people write these books as he inspired them through his Holy Spirit just for them to be cute stories? No, he wrote them to encourage us, to inspire us, to give us hope. It's Jeremiah 29:11, to give us hope in the future. For he knows the plan that he has for us. And so when we remember these stories, when we remember the scriptures and the word of God, see, when we're in those tight times, when we're going through those life phases, when the visible begins to overtake us and overpower us, then that's when we remember, well, dang, if he did it for Daniel, he could do it for me too. If he did it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he could do it for me too. If he did it for the woman with the issue of blood, he could do it for me too. If he did it with the woman that was caught having an adulterous affair, if he did it for her, he could do it for us. And that's in all them stories is when you think about the God that stepped in. If he did it for blind Bartimaeus, he could do it for us too. If he did it for Sarah, he could do, you know what I'm saying? It goes on and on. If he did it for Hannah, he could. So it's story after story that he's given us because he knew this thing. He knew that this journey was not going to be easy. He knew it was going to be discouraging. He knew it was going to bring moments of hopelessness. But through him, we're supposed to have hope. And when we think about all that God has done, when we think about what God has done from Genesis to Revelation, when we think about that, that should bring us back our hope. That should bring us back our hope. And know this, we cannot be losing our hope. And when I'm speaking of hope, I'm talking about our faith. Because the word of God tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's pull that scripture up real quick, and then we're going to close. But let's pull up Hebrews 11:6 real quick. Let me pull it up real quick. If anybody get to it before me, but let's see. Hebrews 11:6. Let's see. I want to read it in detail because I could paraphrase, and I don't want to paraphrase. We're going to do 11:6. I think it's 11:6-7. Hebrews 11:6-7. Okay. Okay. Hebrews 11:6. I don't like the NIV. Let me go to the King James. Okay. So Hebrews 11:6-7. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. 7. No, I'm not going to go to faith. I mean 7 because it talks about all the previous. We know that Noah and Abraham and all them were men, great men of faith. So, but number 6, just remember 6, verse 6. Is that without faith it's impossible to please him. Who's him? God. It's impossible to please Yahweh without faith. Because you got to have faith, otherwise you don't know that he's really God, right? You don't. So somebody that doesn't have faith doesn't know God. Because in order to know God, you got to have faith. Because you got to know, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. So if you don't believe that God How can you believe there's a God without having faith? Because it's not, God ain't somebody you've seen. He's invisible. You get it? Simplistic. It's mathematical. You got to have faith in order to believe in God. And some of us may be having a challenge in our walk, because the reality of it is that maybe we really don't believe there's a God. Maybe we really don't believe there's a God, and if we don't believe there's a God, that means we have no faith. And in order to walk this life and walk this walk out successfully, it's a faith walk. It's a faith walk that's driving us to the invisible. We gotta believe by faith that he did it on the sixth day, that it was done, that everything we was going to need and everything that we was going to be is already complete. And that's, we don't know that. It's not visible. So we have to have faith to walk this walk. Father God, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for loving us enough. Thank you, Father, for wanting to give us clarity through your word and through men and women of God that's willing to teach and preach your word, Father. Father God, that your word would just engulf us, Father, that we would just know, Father, through faith and hope that you are God and that you are working all things together for our good, that you have our best interest at heart. Father God, that you won't leave us nor forsake us, that the battle is not ours, but it's yours. Father, we just thank you, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Father God, that even in the den, Father God, even in the lion's den, that you could deliver us in the den, Father, that anybody could deliver us out the den. Even the enemy could open up a door for us to deliver us out the den, but only you, Yahweh, only you, Jehovah, could deliver us in the lion's den. And Father God, we thank you for delivering us. We thank you for not allowing us to get eaten alive, Father. Some of us have felt the breath of the lion, and we thought it was over. And you came and shut the lion's mouth. And Father, for that, we are grateful. And we are thankful, and we give you the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Father. I don't know about y'all, but that word blessed me on tonight. It restored my hope, and it restored my faith that I am exactly where God would have me to be. And guess what? Even if I'm in the lion's den and I can feel his breath breathing on my neck, I have hope that he will not devour me. I have hope that my God will deliver me in this den. And when he delivers, just remember, you make sure when he delivers you out the lion's den, even if it's for the 35th time, to give him the glory, to give him the honor, and to give him the praise. Why? Because he is worthy. He is worthy of that. So I want to thank each and every one of you on tonight for listening in to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that this was a rhema word. I pray that this word touched and just encouraged you, whatever you're going through, whatever you've been going through, or whatever you may go through in the days ahead, just know that your God could shut the mouth of the lion. Just know that and keep that hope and be encouraged, because guess what? We got some stuff to do, and I'm going to tell you, it's not going to get easier. It's not going to get easier, but because of who we are and whose we are, because of who we belong to, he has already equipped us. He has already equipped us to do this, to do this journey. Amen. So again, thank you all for tuning in tonight.
And I look forward to being with you on next Thursday. I appreciate your prayers. Keep Coach D lifted up. Just keep her lifted up. I know God is doing some things, and I'm just grateful that he's doing some things. I will in prayer and keep you lifted up, that you too will be able to shout and give your testimony about how God interceded on your behalf. Amen. Love you all. Know that you are loved and appreciated, and I'll see you next week. Good night.